So, one of the difficult things about being a historian is that sometimes you ask questions and we don't know the answer. And today, I want to look at the history of gay identities and conflicts in Britain. And one of the problems we have is that for a long, long time, homosexuality was illegal. And it was impossible to discuss it. So if you ask, what was life like in England for homosexuals in the 18th century? The probable answer is, we don't really know. We don't have the information. Nobody wrote it down. Because the first part of the history in Britain, to go back very briefly a few centuries ago, is that under the law of 1533, homosexuality between men was a capital offence. You were executed. You could be executed for sex between men. Say again? Yeah, the interesting question. The first question you imagine is, what about lesbians? What about between women? It was impossible for the elite to imagine women loving women. And so it was never illegal. In Britain, homosexuality between women was never illegal because it was, remember, all of the members of Parliament were men and they didn't manage to imagine that this was a possible idea. Okay. This could be an advantage for women homosexuals. There's also another reason, and that is that the social rules, the social rules about men being close are very different from the social rules about women being close in general. It's not seen in the same way in Western society, unlike many other societies. The first person to be convicted was a playwright and schoolmaster in 1541, and he was imprisoned for a year. Yes, it has to be said that although homosexuality was made a capital offence, people were not generally executed. From time to time, there were executions, but it was not the general response. And in many circles, especially elite circles, the attitude for a long time was, if you don't say anything, we will leave you alone. But we will see some examples later. For example, Winston Churchill's secretary was gay, and everybody knew it, and it was illegal. But it was a situation, it's not a problem if you don't say anything. It was that kind of situation. The law became permanent in 1563. Il suffit de savoir que c'était au XVIe siècle. And it was replaced by another law in 1828. But finally, in 1861, the death penalty was abolished. So, this is an interesting situation. In general, the death penalty is imposed for crimes which harm people in some way. Remember, the death penalty was very common. If you stole an animal, you could be executed. But nevertheless, even stealing an animal is a crime which hurts somebody in some way. Whereas this is a concept of laws which should control people's private lives. And there is obviously not a separation between religious conceptions and legal conceptions here. The idea is, if it's a sin, it must be illegal. This will change later on, and je vous vois un peu la mèche, when there is discussions saying homosexuality should not be illegal, one of the leading groups who say homosexuality should not be illegal is the Church of England. Very surprising, because they say, we think homosexuality is a sin, but sins are not generally illegal. Adultery is not illegal, etc., etc. And so they had this concept that religion is important for the Church of England, of course, but it is a personal question of choice for individuals. So that's a rather surprising element. You wouldn't imagine the Church of England being one of the important forces that changed things. But that's a later story. Let's go back into history. After 1861, you could be imprisoned for between 10 years and life. Men, again, men. This was repeated in 1885. Any homosexual act was illegal. Now, the situation here has changed because in the 16th century, it was not only homosexuality which was illegal, but all kinds of sex outside the traditional man-woman marriage. Yeah? And the idea was, in the 16th century, the idea was, if it's not illegal, everybody will want to do it. The idea that there is a specific group of men who are homosexual is a new idea in the 19th century. It's a 19th century idea. Before that, the general idea was, it's an activity which must be punished because everybody will do it. There was no idea that there was a specific group. This idea comes along in the 19th century, and in fact, the word homosexual is invented in 1869, the word. Before that, they often talked about the crime which cannot be named, le crime qu'on ne peut pas nommer. Bon, ça l'avantage de la clarté. The first very, very famous case is in 1895 when Oscar Wilde, the famous playwright who wrote The Importance of Being Earnest and things like that, and the portrait of Dorian Gray, was prosecuted for homosexuality and sentenced to 2 years in prison, where he wrote The Ballad of Reading Gaol. So this was a very, very famous case, and it divided the politicians. There was, in general, the left defended Oscar Wilde, in general. This will change. We will come back to this in a moment. In general, the left defended Oscar Wilde. Now, because homosexuality... Oh, and here you have police news. This is the... This is a popular newspaper talking about the crimes of the week. Yeah? We still get this in the popular newspapers, you know. Crime, murder, ooh, yes, let's read it. Yeah? And so these are pictures of Oscar Wilde's trial. Now, because homosexuality was illegal... any social activity had to be secret. So even in 1900, in 1910, in 1920, there were gay coffee bars, secrets. And of course, if you want to be secret, you need a slang, an argot. You need to be able to talk about what is important to you in words which the police cannot understand. And this is in Britain, the gay slang is polari. Yeah. Polari is a slang. Comme vous avez des argots en français, le Vernon et d'autres. Polari is a slang which allowed gay people to talk and recognize each other and hide from the police as well. But this is a dictionary of polari and gay slang. Okay, so the problem we have for a very long time is that we know something about the life of gay people who are part of the elites. But ordinary gay people, we know nothing, because it was all secret. We don't know anything. Almost nothing. Although, I did notice I work on the First World War, and there were a number of memoirs of the First World War where they say gay soldiers were accepted if they were... Everybody knew, and people accepted these relationships if you didn't talk about it. Yeah. Let's go back to 1895, Oscar Wilde. what happens to this gentleman? Well, here we have a rather interesting statue of Oscar Wilde. And you can see that it's a modern statue, first of all, because he's lying on the ground. Traditional statues, you are standing on a pedestal. And, of course, traditional statues are not in colour. Yeah? 19th century, the normal statues that you see around Paris, they're not in colour. So this is obviously a very modern statue. And what this shows is that although Oscar Wilde was a very famous writer, there were no statues of Oscar Wilde in 1920, 1930, 1940, 1950. Because he was homosexual, he could not get the consensus needed to raise a statue. This is 10 years ago in Ireland, where he comes from, a statue of Oscar Wilde. So this shows that attitudes have changed tremendously. And I think, personally, I think that attitudes about gays have changed more than all the other attitudes in the last 30 years. So what happened to Oscar Wilde? Well, he is accused of being of having homosexual relationships, and he sues. Il va au tribunal pour mener un procès en diffamation contre quelqu'un qui a dit qu'il était homosexuel. Now, in a way, he is obliged to do this because it's illegal, and so if he doesn't want to be arrested, he has to attack for diffamation, for libel. And this begins in 1895, he loses the trial, and he spends some time in jail. This is just to show that his books today can be made into films. This is Dorian Gray, based on the novel The Portrait of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. This is a blank slide which represents nothing at all. Oh, Oscar Wilde's books. Ah oui, j'ai essayé les effets spéciaux, regardez. Another film from one of Oscar Wilde's books, The Importance of Being Earnest. It's translated into French as L'Importance d'être constant. And Lady Windermere's Fan, again, it's made into a film. So that's really quite major success. How many playwrights from 100 years ago can you make films of today? Almost zero, because the stories they tell don't interest us very much anymore. Some people, that the next episode of the story happens in Germany. A particular gentleman, Magnus Hirschfeld, come in, who is a socialist in Germany in the beginning of the 20th century, and from 1900 to 1930, Magnus Hirschfeld will be the leader of a movement for gay rights in Germany. It's the first movement for gay rights in Germany in 1900, 1910. And he writes this book, Was muss das Volk vom dritten Geschlecht wissen? Can you help me? Can you help me? Yes, yeah. What people must know about the third sex? Yeah, what people must know about the third sex? So the idea here is that homosexual men are a third sex, men, women, and homosexual men. It's an idea. Today we know this is not true, but this was the idea at the time, and this was the idea which was used to defend gay rights in Germany. It was published by the Scientific Humanitarian Committee. Now you see they're very careful with the title, a very neutral title. And it took a particular tactic that Hirschfeld said society must not discriminate against homosexuals because homosexuals are born homosexual. Okay. This is an idea which today is generally rejected. But at the time, he said that it is possible to avoid the discrimination or to stop the discrimination if we persuade people that it's simply a different way of being born. And so he identified a scientific method and he collected information about 10,000 homosexuals, men and women, and he tried to prove that there was a biological difference among men and women. So if this was true, he said, then homosexuals are a biological variant and so should be treated normally by society. Even today, you sometimes see in the newspapers scientists who have tried to find differences between the brains of gay men and straight men and gay women and straight women. My personal opinion is that this is absolute nonsense. But there is a minority of scientists who think it's true. It is a minority, but it's not zero. I might be wrong. In the 20s, there was some support in the German Socialist Party, and they began a campaign to stop the law against homosexuality in Germany. Now, I'm talking about Germany and not England, because in England at this time nothing was happening about the question. Okay, the story went to Germany. There were a lot of signatures against the anti-gay law from scientists, lawyers, writers, churchmen, etc. But the only political group to support Hirschfeld was the Socialist Party, the Sozialistische Demokratische Partei. There's Magnus Hirschfeld again. The next episode of the story happens in Russia. In 1917, there is a revolution in Russia, of course, and there is an attempt to change society in general. For example, to stop women staying at home looking after the children and making the food, there is a big movement of collective restaurants and collective creches, the socialization of family work. And also, for the first time in history, homosexual rights are recognized. And the law says we consider gay couples in exactly the same way as we consider straight couples. So for the first and only time until 10 years ago, the two were considered the same. Officially en français. Toutes les formes de plaisir sexuel condamnées par la législation européenne sont traitées par la législation soviétique exactement comme est communément appelé l'accouplement naturel. Okay, so the idea is that it becomes a a question of the private sector. Okay, let's go back to England. Let's go back to England in the 1920s. Let's go back to England in the 1920s. At this time, there are some parts of society where it is possible to be gay. It's very difficult, but it can be done. For example, in the theatre. But in general, in society, it is extremely difficult. I saw a gay writer from this time in the 20s, and he said, one day I was reading a book by Oscar Wilde, yeah? And my father came and beat me because I was reading a book by a gay author. That was enough. Yeah. So it was very, very heavy, very, very heavy interdiction. We know a little bit about gay men in the theatre because it was a slightly more open milieu. For example, in 1925, an actor was asked to play the part of a gay man. Yeah, so the actor had to play a gay man. The character was a gay man. And in fact, the actor was also gay, but he had to keep it a secret. He had to pretend that he was not gay. And at the end, the pressure was so big that he killed himself. And in fact, in this period, even later, but in this period, the suicide among gays is very high, because the pressure is just too enormous. In some milieus are slightly easier than others. We know that in the 1930s, in Oxford University, it was possible to survive as gay if you didn't say anything. Everybody knew, but you mustn't talk about it. And here we have one of the famous gay men from the 30s and 40s, Noel Coward. He wrote songs for musical comedies, usually funny songs. Check it out on YouTube, there's some good stuff. And, for example, he wrote a gay love song called Mad About the Boy, Je suis fou de ce garçon. But it was impossible for a man to sing it, and so he had to give it to a woman to sing. So you had all these kind of contradictions. The situation was similar for gay women. In some jobs, it was acceptable to be gay, for example, to dress as men. When it was illegal when you had to be secret about being gay, one of the things which happened more in gay circles was men dressing as women and women dressing as men. There was more need to be visible because it was secrets. There was more need to be visible inside the thing. Now, in 1921, we have an interesting new development, and that is the House of Commons votes a law to make it illegal for women to be gay, for the first time. But as you know, in Britain, it's not enough for the House of Commons to vote a law. The House of Lords must also vote a law, and the House of Lords refused. Why did the House of Lords refuse? One of the Lords said, if you vote this law, you will tell the whole world that such a crime exists. You will inform many, many women of this who have never thought about it. Yeah. So this idea, it's dangerous to have a law against being gay because otherwise people will get ideas, yes? You get more of this later on, a lot of bizarre ideas. I will tell you a little later on about a law in the 1980s which said it was illegal to talk for teachers to explain in school about homosexuality. And the Conservatives said, because you will encourage our children to become gay. And this was the idea. Very, very common idea at the time. So if we look a little bit at gay women in the 1920s, we're still in the 1920s, the best place to be gay in the 1920s was Berlin. It was a kind of open, relatively open. Marlene Dietrich, the singer, ich bin von Kopf zu Fuß als Lieder eingestellt. Yeah, you know, okay. I won't sing the rest. She organized gay parties in Berlin, but you know, it was easier if you were famous and you had money. In Paris, Gertrude Stein, the writer, friend of Ernest Hemingway, had her little gay group. And Gertrude Stein had written in 1903 a gay novel, a novel about being gay, but she didn't dare publish it. Elle n'osait pas le faire publier. Gertrude Stein. Gertrude Stein.
How do you write
Stein? Say
again? How do you write
Stein, S-T-E-E-N. S-T-E-E-N. She wrote a novel about being gay in 1903, but she didn't publish it. It was too frightening to publish it. However, this did happen a little later. Of this Noel Coward's centenary celebration. You can see that today, 100 years later, he is celebrated. It's not a problem anymore. And here you have a novel which was written in 1928, by the English woman, Radcliffe Hall. And this novel is about gay women. It is extremely moderate. There is absolutely nothing at all shocking. There is no sex in the book. It's a very, very non-shocking for today. But it was too much at the time. Let me tell you the story a little bit. This is a girl who grows up a little bit as a tomboy, feels she is different from other women, and falls in love with her French teacher. Okay, can happen. And realizes that she is gay, is very worried about this, and discusses it with religious people. Finally goes to Paris and works to support the war. And the end of the novel is a plea. Please allow us to love each other in the same way as everywhere else. So it's a kind of slightly moralist sort of defense. Absolutely not a novel about sex, not at all. Many publishers refused. Finally, a publisher accepted in 1928, and for the first few days, it sold very well. In W.H. Smith, c'est pour le holy ash de l'époque, they had them in the window. But suddenly, a newspaper, the Sunday Express, a conservative newspaper, published a criticism of the book entitled, A Book Which Should Be Banned. And the journalist wrote, I would rather give a healthy boy or a healthy girl a glass of cyanide to kill them rather than give them this novel. Okay. Not good. Okay, and suddenly there was a campaign against the book, and the Home Secretary, le ministre de l'Intérieur, donc, decided to ban the book, so the book was banned. There was something of a campaign to defend the book, and a few authors defended Radcliffe Hall. For example, Virginia Woolf and Arnold Bennett. These are famous writers. There were 10, but I just give you 2. Virginia Woolf and Arnold Bennett defended Radcliffe Hall. They said, no, her book is acceptable. We should be able to read it. But Radcliffe Hall explains, many of my friends suddenly disappeared. The atmosphere, very, very heavy, very, very difficult situation. And this is, of course, when you find out who are your real friends. Probably most of her friends said, sorry, I'm busy. I have to paint my bathroom. Yeah. Okay, so that was an example to show what the situation was in 1928 when you tried to publish a book about gay women. There was a trial, il y avait un procès, and the judge, the Radcliffe Hall, lost the trial and all the books were destroyed. During the trial, she received 5,000 letters of support, and the book was published in America, sold 1 million copies, It was published in Paris, and it was secretly imported into Britain.
This book.
C'est bien, interdit de le vendre en Angleterre, mais il réussissait quand même. Now, fortunately, Radcliffe Hall was a rich woman, so she had the money to defend the trial and so on. The aim of her book today seems to us rather unusual. She wanted to say in her book, it says, lesbians are respectable people who deserve our pity. Okay, this is the idea at the time, yeah? So today, this is doesn't sound a very progressive idea, yeah? Lesbians deserve our pity. Elles méritent notre pitié. But this was at the time, the most advanced position. She also believed, just like Hirschfeld, that being gay was natural, and she presents lesbians as handicapped by a cruel god. Okay, so you can see it's just the very beginning of the defence. So even the people who defend gays are, you know, really on a position which today seems rather unusual. She was not a left-wing lady at all. She was a conservative. She was a conservative writer. She came up into this one. And this was not absolutely the first. This was not the first book to talk about lesbians. But the previous book had been written by somebody who was not famous and didn't make a lot of noise. Okay, let's move on to the... Let's go back briefly to Russia. Because this is important. In the end of the 1920s, a new group of leaders take power in Russia under Stalin, and many of the laws passed in 1917 to 1923 are reversed. For example, abortion was legal, l'IVG était légalisé en 1917, et interdit en 1931. And many more things like this. So the new Stalinist regime has a traditionalist view of the role of women, and in the same way, suddenly homosexuality is again illegal in Russia. This is important because everywhere in Europe there are communist parties who are following the ideas of the Russian government. Now, there are important, especially in France, important political groups who are close to the Russian government. And this is why we will find a new situation after the Second World War, and from 1940 until 1970, no political organisation defends gay rights. The right don't, and the left do not either. And the most important influence on this is the decision by Stalin and his friends in 1935 to make all gay relations illegal. This was very vicious in Russia. Thousands of gays were sent to work camps. According to Stalin, homosexuality was a fascist perversion. Une perversion fasciste. Tu crois n'importe quoi, mais ça marchait à l'époque pour lui. The reason for this was, or the economic reason for this, is that the Industrial Revolution in Russia, very rapid, Stalin wanted to reinforce the family. Lots of children, a traditional view of the family, was a way of helping the Industrial Revolution along. We arrive then in the Second World War, and things change a little bit in the Second World War. First of all, of course, millions of soldiers are a long way from their families. Millions of women are working in farms or factories. Millions of young people are evacuated from the towns. And the danger, the generalized danger, remember the bombings, it seems that this danger allowed people to be more open. Not easy. The American army was very, very firm. They worked very hard to assure that there were no gay men in the army. This was the aim in the Second World War. The aim of the American army was we don't want any gay soldiers. So very often pacifists or other people who did not want to join the army pretended to be gay because you could get out of this. And so the army had to decide, here is a man who says, who seems to be homosexual, and they asked a doctor to decide, is it true or is it not true? Difficult question, of course. And so what the doctors did is that they invented tests which seem rather ridiculous today. For example, they said that if you push the back of the tongue of a gay man, they have a different reaction than if you push the back of the tongue of a straight man. Okay, this is science for you. They also would ask every man who joined the army was asked, have you ever had experiences of homosexual relations? 3,000 or 4,000 soldiers were excluded from the American army for being gay. In Britain, the situation was a little different. First of all, one of our one important character, ici les vieux, mais il était jeune à l'époque, one important character, Quentin Crisp, was refused in the army. He was a rather unusual homosexual in that he liked to dress as a woman and put makeup on, and this was very, very difficult for the world because it was just too much. And he was not allowed to join the army. In Britain, there were the most common crime for soldiers in the Second World War was being homosexual. Unfortunately, the minutes, les comptes rendus des audiences, ont été détruits après la guerre. C'est terrible. Pour les historiens, on est énervé parce que ça a été très intéressant, mais bon. And the official position was confirmed homosexuals who we cannot reform must be excluded from the army. Okay, so that was the official position. The situation was rather different for lesbians because, first of all, lesbians had an advantage because in the Britain in the 1940s, if you were a woman, you worked until you got married and then you stopped. So normally you did not have a very successful career because you had to stop when you got married. And so lesbians had better careers than everybody else because they didn't get married. And some of them became quite famous. Some a lesbian journalist became one of the became an important journalist during the war. The first person to visit Hitler's house in 1945, after the war. Then, for the men, at least there were quite a lot of gay soldiers in the RAF, in the pilots. And some of them got medals. And the next character I wanted to mention is Alan Turing. Have you heard of this man? Alan Turing. So here again we have a statue of Alan Turing. And you can see, I think, that again it's a very modern statue. Because the traditional statue, the pedestal standing up, this is a statue where he's sitting on a park bench and an everyday position. This is a very modern idea of a statue. And this is Alan Turing. Who was Alan Turing? He was a mathematician, a gay mathematician, who built the first, some of the first computers. And he took an important role in cracking the Nazi codes during the war. You know, the importance of cracking the codes, you know, les codes, les enigmes, tout ça. Now, he had a very difficult life because his employers, the government, knew he was gay, and they said, you have lost your job, except if you accept to take these drugs, this medicine, which will stop you from being gay. Yeah? Donc, c'est ce qu'on appelle aujourd'hui la castration chimique. Ce sont des médicaments hormonaux très forts. Hein. And so he accepted this and he took them, and then three years later, I think, he committed suicide. So this is just an example. Now, because he's famous, we know the story. But there are many stories we don't know because they weren't famous. And interesting case, Alan Turing, because as you can see, he now has his statue. And the government, I think 5 years ago, maybe 10, time passes so quickly, the British government, issued an official apology. They officially apologized to the family of Alan Turing because of this medicine that they gave to Alan Turing. Life, of course, was... of course, most gay people during the war had a very ordinary life like everybody else. It was rather difficult because, of course, couples are separated during the war. And gay couples who were separated, because there was censorship of the letters, they could not write letters like other couples because it was dangerous. It's illegal. You could be thrown into prison. The war ended in 1945, if you remember, I think. There was an attempt, especially in America, but also in Britain, to reconstruct traditional morality. Herbert Hoover, who is an ex-president of the United States, said, "We are obliged to recognize that total war has relaxed the moral level of the country, and everywhere human decency is under threat." So Herbert Hoover was very worried because during a war, you know, of course, married couples are separated and sometimes they do things which they wouldn't do if they weren't separated, okay? There was a general feeling among the elites that there was, you know, a moral problem and it was important to put morality back. We have another example in England, the Archbishop of Canterbury. The Archbishop of Canterbury is the official leader of the Church of England, just en dessous de la reine, c'est le chef organisateur de l'Église d'Angleterre, and he said, people must reject wartime morality. Il faut rejeter la morale des temps de guerre. So the idea was that the traditional family should be encouraged, women should stay at home, women should become more feminine, etc., and as you can imagine, gay rights was not part of this program. In this time, then, we're in the 1950s, and a lot of gay people get married anyway. The pressure is very, 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 very high. It seems impossible to have a happy life in a couple with another man, or for a woman in a couple with another woman. And so very often they will get married. The marriage is sometimes happy, often not happy, because it's not easy. But it's very, very common that. Quentin Crisp is an exception, and his book, The Naked Civil Servant, Le Fonctionnaire Tout Nu, il s'appelle Le Fonctionnaire Tout Nu, it's a very interesting book because he tells the story of being gay in London in the 40s and 50s. And we only have the one book. So I hope it's true, because we don't have any more to... Le fonctionnaire tout nu, the naked civil servant. As I said, a lot of gay people got married, but also suicide remains much higher than in the rest of the population. Then something new came along. Oh, I forgot to mention something. Yes, of course, in Nazi-occupied Europe, being gay was as good for your health as being Jewish or being a communist. Gay people had their special symbol, the pink triangle, whereas you had the yellow star for Jews and the red triangle for communists.
and those were, and of course, gypsies, disabled people, etc. This terrible tragedy, which is even today is difficult to think about because it's just so big. And the pink triangle has become a symbol of gay rights today. Oh, what are we doing? Oh, there you go. I think just a moment. This is in French, but I didn't find anything in English. Le rapport de la Fondation pour la mémoire de les dépenses. This is an interesting case because, of course, there are many, many monuments to the people who were deported. But until 15 years ago, they never mentioned the homosexuals. It was for all the others. So this is moving on. The next big episode in the story, 1948, in America. The Kinsey Reports. Kinsey. Vous le lisez de là-bas? Ah, vous êtes jeune. C'est bien. Okay, the Kinsey. Have you heard of this man? Yeah. Okay, yeah. This is the first scientific study of human sexuality. 50 years before, nobody dared really to talk about it. And so what did Kinsey do? He interviewed thousands of people. He's a sociologist. He interviewed thousands of people about sex in a scientific manner. And he found results. Of course, this is very difficult to do because when you ask people about sex, they tell you lies. So that does make it quite difficult. Nevertheless, you can get some. I wouldn't be asking you, incidentally. Okay. Nevertheless, he came up with some things. For example, according to his interviews, 37% of American men had some gay activity. So very, very high level. This is not to say that there were 37% of gays. Son résultat, c'est que 37% des hommes américains avaient eu une expérience homosexuelle au moins une fois. And 4% had only experience with other men. How about the women? 28%. 28% felt attracted to women. 28%. In the north of England, when they tried, this was a bestseller everywhere in the world, even in France. When they tried to sell the book in the north of England, the police and the judges became interested, and they tried to ban the book for being obscene. But they were not successful. Now, this was very, very influential, because before this, everybody imagined that gay people were, one, a small minority, and two, very easy to recognise. Yeah? That you could, that it was all a matter of how you walked, how you talked, and so on. So this was a very influential book. In Britain at this time, life was very hard for gay people. Because it's one thing to have a law, but it's another thing how it is applied. And in the 1950s, the police were more and more interested in gay people. So, for example, in 1938, about 1,000 men were arrested, were tried for homosexuality. In 1952, about 4,000 men. Donc en 1938, autour de 1,000 hommes. Était poursuivi en justice, en 52, autour de 4,000. This is not because there are more gay men, it's because the police are more interested. The Home Secretary, le ministre de l'Intérieur, said homosexuals are exhibitionists and try to recruit more homosexuals. They are a danger to society. A famous medical journal suggested that gay men should be sent to the north of Scotland because the cold would help them to recover, to resist their homosexuality. In 1953, a Labour member of Parliament was arrested for homosexuality, and this was the end of his career. Okay, so you can see the situation.
Oh yeah, après sexual behaviour in the human male, quelques années plus tard, il y avait sexual behaviour in the human female. Okay. Et en français. Wow. Super les effets spéciaux. Ça c'est un disque. C'est un disque enregistré sur cette information pour les gens qui n'ont pas envie de lire. One of the most famous gay men in Britain from this period is Sir John Gielgud. Donc il est sœur, donc il a été élevé, nommé chevalier par la reine. He is famous. I don't know if you know his name, but he is the most famous Shakespeare actor. John Gielgud doing Hamlet. It's really something else, really. Well worth a listen. Very, very good indeed. Même que ces dernières années, c'est plutôt Peter Brook et ses copains. C'est pas mal non plus. So Sir John Gielgud was arrested and had to pay a fine. He had to pay a fine. He devait payer une amende. And what is interesting about this is that, of course, it was in all the newspapers. Sir John Gielgud is gay and he had to pay a fine. And he was very worried about his audience. And the first time he went on stage after paying the fine, all of the audience stood up and applauded him. So very interesting. It seems that it may well be that public opinion was not as bad as the law. Yeah, there was support. He was not sure. He said, what's going to happen when I go on stage? And in fact, he got a lot of support. But certainly, extremely difficult situation. If you were gay, you must not have an address book. Because if you are arrested, they go and find your friends. Yeah? No letters. Destroy all your letters. So very, very hard situation. Also in 1953, a gentleman called Rupert Croft Cook was sent to prison for 9 months, and he wrote a book. He wrote a book about the experience, which caused a big debate, but he had to go and live in another country. Interesting case, interesting point, this case. This man was arrested in 1953. During the Second World War, he was in the army, and he won a medal, quite an important medal. I don't know which one, for courage. And when he was arrested, the government asked him to return his medal. So you can see that from the mentality of the elites, if you were gay, that cancelled anything else that you might do. Now, the gay people who were the more famous gay people who were arrested and sent to trial, generally defended with the idea that this is the way we were born. So one of them says, I am not proud of being gay, just like I would not be proud to have a glass eye. But I am not ashamed, just like you are not ashamed to be left-handed or colourblind. So he saw it as something natural. So the 1950s is definitely the hardest time in Britain to be gay. And the government began to get worried because quite a lot of gay people, members of parliament, etc., were subjected to blackmail. Il y avait beaucoup de problèmes de chantage. D'ailleurs, il y a eu toute une série d'homosexuels recrutés par la Russie comme espions. Sinon, on vous dénonce comme homosexuel. So it became a problem for government because of the instability involved. And also, the Church of England produced a proposal to change the law. Church of England were the first. And they said, homosexuality is a sin, just like adultery is a sin, but these are questions for individual conscience and must not be illegal. The result was that the government established arrests and prosecutions for homosexuals.
Vous voyez que j'ai piqué quelques diapos chez un collègue. Ils sont différents.
Okay. Arrests and prosecutions for homosexuals increased in the 1950s. And the well-publicized trial of Lord Montague, who was tried, he was a lord, in 1954, led the Conservative government to set up a departmental committee under Sir John Wolfenden to consider both homosexual offences and prostitution. Okay, so this is interesting. First of all, notice it is a Conservative government to establish, whereas normally, a little later, we will associate the defence of gay rights with the left and not with the Conservatives. But this was not the case at the time. But secondly, notice how they consider it from a moral point of view, that one committee for homosexuality and prostitution. It's a little bit the same thing in the mentality of the people at the time. Yeah, so very something which generally has changed. Now, the actual story of the committee is rather bizarre, really. I don't know if you know this company, Huntley and Palmer. It's a company which makes biscuits. It's not important. But in the committee, in the Wolfenden committee, there were some women, I think 2 women in 10 men. And the men said, we cannot say the word homosexual when there are women in the room, and we cannot say the word prostitute when there are ladies in the room. It's too shocking for them. So we will say Huntley for homosexuals and Palmer for prostitutes. Now, of course, this is very funny. Today, this is very funny, but it does show that these are really very, very solid ideology. Yeah. They were not being hypocritical. They simply found it impossible to say these words in front of ladies. So, the recommendation of the report in September 1957 was that gay relations in private by consenting adults over 21 should be legal. This was in all the newspapers. However, the government said, we cannot pass this law because we will lose. Public opinion is not ready. Surprising, really, because the difference was about 10% between the supporters of legalisation. The majority were against legalisation. But the difference was only 10%. Some people think if the government had worked a bit harder, they could have changed it round. Non, ce n'est pas passé encore. Non, encore 10 ans. Hein. Je vous vends la mèche. So, a homosexual law reform association was established in 1958. A campaign. The campaign for... j'ai oublié le nom exact de la campagne, mais une campagne pour réformer la loi, pour légaliser l'homosexualité, était établie en 58. And as often happens in Britain, the campaign was begun by a letter to the Times. On envoie une lettre au Times, c'est très civilisé. And the most important people who signed it, Bertrand Russell, Clement Attlee, and A.J. Ayer, an important intellectual. So Bertrand Russell, an extremely important philosopher, Clement Attlee, ex-prime minister, and Ayer, an important historian, they launched this campaign. And the important thing is these three people were not gay. Okay, so this was a new period. They could find famous intellectuals to defend, just one moment, to defend the legalization who were not gay. Question?
When was it?
1958. Yeah, 58, yeah. So this is obviously, when you can get people to defend you who are outside the group, this is good. This is a good start. It was difficult, though, very difficult to advance. For example, in the Labour Party, in the local meetings of the Labour Party, sometimes they said, we cannot discuss this question because there are ladies here. Yeah? Okay, so very difficult situation to move forward. A lot of the politicians were frightened of public opinion. They often said, oh, I am in favour of legalisation, but we don't think that public opinion is ready for that. Remember that the World Health Organization, l'Organisation Mondiale de la Santé, considers homosexuality an illness until... A votre avis, à quelle date l'Organisation Mondiale de la Santé a dit que l'homosexualité on l'enlève de la liste des maladies? C'est pas très tôt, quand même. D'accord, c'est il y a 20 ans. Bon. So I was already old. Okay. Things change in the 1970s. In 1968, you have the enormous general strike in France. And in general, what we call the sexual revolution of the 60s. I think this has been exaggerated. But nevertheless, there were real changes. It was more acceptable to have other ways of living, to be divorced, to be gay, etc. became more acceptable. Moi, quand j'étais au collège, quelqu'un dont les parents étaient divorcés, un, était très rare, et deux, on parlait d'un foyer brisé. Il vient d'un foyer brisé. On ne disait pas, ses parents sont séparés, on disait, il vient d'un foyer brisé. Pas tout à fait la même ambiance. Hein? Okay, so here is the Wolfenden Report. Report of the Committee on Homosexual Offences and Prostitution. So just to remind you, very important symbolism that the two questions are taken together. Whereas, it's taken from a sort of Christian point of view that these are two moral problems. Yeah, it's not anything else. Here you have the first gay pride march in London. So now, after 1968, it is possible to have a campaign, an open campaign with demonstrations, not just intellectuals writing to the Times. That's easy, yeah? Demonstrations on the streets is more difficult. J'allais vous demander à vous, quelle date? Not bad. 72. Now, there are a lot of very, very interesting things about this picture. First of all, I don't know if you can see, but it's a demonstration of perhaps 2,000 people. So it's not a big mass demonstration. That was not possible. But it's a significant demonstration. That is a lot of police. For a small demonstration, that is a lot of police. This is not because they think the demonstration will be violent. It's because they think people may attack the demonstration. Second, very important thing. Vous savez pas
Regarde les sages pensées. You can see there are no political parties. There are no banners with political parties. There are no trade union banners. So the traditional organisations that organise protest against injustice are not there. It's just all just gay organisations. Campaign for homosexual equality. Yeah, and also, if you look at the banners, they're very amateur. You get the impression these are people who haven't done a demonstration before. Okay, so things got a little bit better, and this is again inspired by the black civil rights movement in America, who seemed to inspire everybody in the whole world. And so you had the slogan, "Gay is good." This is like the slogan, "Black is beautiful." Yeah. So the idea was that the first element is self-image. That the first important thing is not to be ashamed. Now, in 1976, in Britain, we have an important new event, which is the transformation of popular music by the arrival of Shut up! Thank you. In 1976, there's an interesting story of a song, which we're going to listen to now. This song is by Tom Robinson, who is a rock and roller, a little bit influenced by punk rock, but not really punk. And he sings this song, "Glad to Be Gay." So let's listen to it first, and then I will give you the story.
Appeal, but they still sent him down. He was only mistreated. after the quiz.
Okay, so when Tom Robinson wrote this, so he was going around the country to rock concerts from audiences who were just generally kind of punky, working class audiences, and he was terrified. He said, if I sing this, they will kill me, which was not a ridiculous thing to think. This is 1976, I remember 1976. But he was very surprised. It was very well received. In fact, ideas had been changing faster than he thought. But nevertheless, he was the first one who wrote a popular song. And of course, it's much easier to write a novel and send it to the bookshop than to stand on stage in front of, you know, 1,000 young people and sing it. So this is Tom Robinson. I apologise about the words. He changes the words every time he sings it. What can you do? It's called... He must be an artist, I think. Okay, so... the gay movement became more important and things got better. But in particular, in the 1980s, of course, the terrible arrival of a new disease, AIDS, which at the beginning attacked gay people more, although today the majority of people in the world with AIDS are not gay. But at the beginning, it was attacking gay people more, was... in a bizarre way, it was good for attitudes about gay people. First of all, the government was obliged to be open about the question. It was a dangerous disease. And quite quickly, attitudes changed. Certainly, in the 1970s, if we go back in time to the 1970s and we talk to gay people and we say, in 30 years' time, people will be talking about gay marriage, gay adoption, it will be possible to be gay and the mayor of Paris, they would say, you're joking, it's impossible. Probably it's one of the sets of ideas that has changed the biggest. In the 1970s, when I was 15, nobody defended gays. The rights, the left, the communists, the socialists, the conservatives, nobody. Yeah, it was a... And now, I'm not saying everybody, but a really big change. I don't know exactly why. Nevertheless, there were a series of difficult episodes. In 1988, the Conservative government passed a law, Section 28 of the Local Government Act, Clause 28. And what did it said? A local authority shall not intentionally promote homosexuality or publish material with the intention of promoting homosexuality. And there must not be teaching in any maintained school of the acceptability of homosexuality as a pretended family relationship. I quote. So it became illegal for a local government to promote homosexuality, promouvoir homosexuality. For example, give money to an organisation of gay people. And it became illegal for a teacher to say in school that homosexuality is acceptable and is a family relationship. You can imagine this makes things very difficult. It meant that it was impossible for teachers to say anything about homosexuality. There was a long campaign against it. Here's a badge. This is a badge. Stop Clause 28. I think it was 10 years before it was before it was changed. It was with the new government, with the Labour government. So, finally, I want to have a little look at the situation today. After 2005 in Britain, it is possible to have gay civil partnerships. Donc c'est l'équivalent du PACS. 2005. Yeah, 2005. C'est dur les chiffres. 2005, it is possible to have gay civil partnerships. So that is 6 years ago. It's not a long time. Yeah? Even I know you're young, but even so, 6 years is not a long time. This is a very important change. Before the civil partnership, many gay people, especially with AIDS, had big problems. For example, if one of the partners died, very often the parents of the dead partner would immediately refuse anything for the partner because they were against it. There were many cases where gay men were in hospital with AIDS and their partner could not visit because the parents of the person who was ill refused. Yeah? Because the partner had no rights. Yeah, had no rights. So the gay civil partnership was an important change. If you're in a civil partnership, you don't have the same rights as being married, but you have some of those rights. Okay, so finally, look at some of the Freddie Mercury, of course, some of the gay heroes of Britain. This is a campaign to attack AIDS in the 1980s, 1990s. Gay Pride in London. Also Gay Pride in London. Gay Pride has changed tremendously. Look, it is sponsored by the Mayor of London. Mayor of London. La mairie de Londres aide à organiser. So completely different situation from 1971. Well, this is the situation today. Les Anglais continuent à confirmer leur image comme étant la nation la plus mal habillée d'Europe. Okay. There are also today organizations for particular groups. This is the Older Lesbian Network, for example. And of course, one of the big campaigns of the last 10 years has been to make it acceptable for gay people to bring up children. So this is the Gay Parents Network. Je vois comment les choses ont changé parce qu'il y a 4 ans, ma fille avait 7 ans et on avait des copines, un couple de lesbiennes qui avaient des enfants. Et j'ai expliqué à ma fille qu'il y avait des gens qui trouvaient ça mauvais, qu'il y avait des préjugés. Et ma fille dit, mais je ne te crois pas, ça n'existe pas que des gens avec ces préjugés-là. Moi, je dis, bon, il y avait eu un changement. This is a poster for Gay Rights Today. Stonewall is an organization. It was an important event in the gay rights movement in America, absolutely. But today, that's here, it's an organization. Et le slogan, les homos, ça existe, promettez-vous. Okay, so it's a kind of joke. Gay Pride Scotland. So this is very modern, of course. And they're very brave because going for a picnic on the beach in England. Yeah, why not? And
the trade unions are now very much involved in campaigning for gay rights. In fact, they are at the centre of gay rights. This is in 2004. It said discriminating against lesbians and gay men isn't fair, but it's legal. We need a new law against discrimination. Et trois ans plus tard, oui, trois ans plus tard, la première loi contre la discrimination. Yeah. Since 2008, it is illegal. Since 2008, 3 years ago, it is illegal to discriminate against people because of their sexuality. And finally, then you have a guide to adoption for gay men. And a leaflet about gay rights. Which this leaflet by the organisation Stonewall emphasises that there are still more changes necessary. Yeah? 24% of the population, according to this leaflet, think that gay sex should be made illegal. Now, you have to be a little bit careful with these statistics because, of course, this is a leaflet by an organisation whose objective is to show, naturally, that the gay oppression is very heavy. So if there are a few different figures, they may take the highest one. That's natural. Yeah. 45% think same-sex couples should not be allowed to get married. Any questions? Any questions? Anything not clearly explained there? Any questions? Shut up then. Thank you. Okay. Right. And I think that's the end of the story. Oh, George Michael. Some of my favourite gay people at the end. Joe Orton, playwright. Francis Bacon, a very impressive painter. Yeah, that's painting. Francis Bacon, an important modern artist, but not always easy. Francis Bacon. It's very violent. Yeah, do you like it? Oh, right, you didn't know he was gay, okay. Benjamin Britten, lui, il est mort il y a longtemps, mais c'était un compositeur au monde. And Jeanette Winterson, who is a novelist, and these are her most famous books. Oranges are not the only fruits. And what's unusual about this book for me, this is her childhood. It's the story of her childhood. And she lived in the same small town in the north of England that I live, that I lived before I came. So it's very bizarre. Yeah. But she's very old and I'm very young. Okay? And look at the titles. Why be happy when you could be normal? Apparemment, c'est quelque chose qui lui a dit sa maman. Because she said, I want to be happy. But why do you want to be happy? You need to be normal. Okay, so that's all I have to... this is the only important history book. Il y a quand même très peu d'histoires d'écrit. J'ai dû plus penser pour ce cours que pour tous les autres parce que l'information n'existe pas. Et ça, c'est le livre. Merci de votre attention. Je vous retrouve. Et puis, bonne fête, quand même. Ne mangez pas trop de chocolat. C'était mon dernier cours avant les fêtes. Maintenant, je peux aller me saouler. Je suis majeur, hein, j'ai le droit.